In today's news headlines, President Donald Trump reached a federal government spending deal with leaders from both major parties on Monday that would lift the debt ceiling and increase spending. The debt ceiling would be suspended for 2 years until after the 2020 presidential race, and the budget would span 2 years, as House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has demanded. Opposition to the deal emerged almost immediately from both sides of the aisle, with Republicans worried about increasing the government deficit and Democrats complaining about political concessions made to Trump. New York Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez pointed out on Twitter, "Notice how whenever we pursue large spending increases and tax cuts for corporations, contractors, and the connected, it's treated as business as usual. But the moment we consider investing similar dollars in working class people, example tuition-free college, they cry out it's unrealistic." Meanwhile, Politico referred to the president as Deficit Don in an analysis that explained how the president endorsed a bipartisan budget deal without any of the spending restraints previously demanded by Republicans. In other news, Trump is moving to tighten rules for food stamp recipients in a way that could cut millions of Americans off the safety net program. The new rules would not automatically enroll those low-income people enrolled in other benefits such as TANF in the food stamp program, which is also known as the Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program, or SNAP. Acting Deputy Undersecretary of the USDA, Brandon Lips, made the bizarre claim that, quote, "Automatic eligibility has expanded to allow even millionaires and others who simply receive a TANF-funded brochure to become eligible for SNAP when they clearly don't need it." The Justice Department has issued a warning letter to Special Counsel Robert Mueller ahead of his public testimony to two House panels on Wednesday. A DOJ spokesperson said the letter was simply a response to Mueller's request, asking for direction on how to navigate congressional questioning. The DOJ said to Mueller in its letter, it, quote, "agrees with your stated position that your testimony should be unnecessary under the circumstances," and warned, quote, "please note there should be no testimony concerning the redacted portions of the public version of your report." Representative Gerald Nadler, chair of the House Judiciary Committee, which Mueller will testify to, denounced the letter, saying, "I think it's incredibly arrogant of the department to try to instruct him as to what to say. It's part of the ongoing cover-up by the administration to keep information away from the American people, but I think that it's not going to have a real impact." Meanwhile, FBI Director Christopher Wray testified before the Senate Judiciary Committee on Tuesday as part of a Republican effort to investigate the origins of the special counsel probe into Russian interference in 2016. Here is Mr. Wray responding to Senate Judiciary Chair and close Trump ally Lindsey Graham.
"The Russians are absolutely intent on trying to interfere with our elections through foreign influence.
Everything we've done against Russia has not deterred them enough. All the sanctions, all the talk, they're still at it."
"Well, my view is until they stop, they haven't been deterred enough."
And they're still doing it.
"Yes."
That's Senator Lindsey Graham questioning FBI Director Christopher Wray at a Senate Judiciary Committee meeting on Tuesday. The Senate voted on Tuesday as well to confirm Army Secretary Mark Esper as Defense Secretary in a vote of 90-8. Trump picked Esper to head the Pentagon after revelations last week imperiled Acting Secretary Patrick Shanahan's chances for the job. Shanahan's wife and son were both implicated in domestic violence incidents 10 years ago that he apparently did not want to dredge up again, leading him to withdraw his name. Shanahan had been in his temporary position for months and faced opposition from senators even before the revelations. He had served as a Boeing executive for much of his career. News emerged on Monday about why Vice President Mike Pence earlier this month canceled a trip to New Hampshire to address the opioid crisis. Apparently, Jeff Hatch, a former player for the New York Giants, was to greet Pence at the airport. But it was revealed that Hatch was under federal investigation for drug trafficking, and specifically carrying the potent opioid fentanyl over state lines. Associated Press on Tuesday published a lengthy report on a series of violent racist incidents across the U.S. that took place 100 years ago in the summer of 1919 and resulted in the deaths of hundreds of African Americans. The little-known series of attacks is collectively known as Red Summer, and AP explained that it flowed in small towns like Elaine, Arkansas, in medium-sized places such as Annapolis, Maryland, and Syracuse, New York, and in big cities like Washington and Chicago. Hundreds of African-American men, women, and children were burned alive, shot, hanged, or beaten to death by white mobs. Thousands saw their homes and businesses burned to the ground and were driven out, many never to return. It was, quote, some of the worst white-on-black violence in U.S. history. Here is Timuel Black, a historian who described to AP the racial tensions in the U.S. at the time.
I was born in Birmingham, Alabama, December the 7th, 1918. The South was absolutely Jim Crow, and what was then called Negroes were not permitted the same. They could not vote, they could not organize, they could not look at particularly Caucasian women or they would be lynched. So the threat headed by the Ku Klux Klan was continuous.
That's historian Timuel Black reflecting on Red Summer, a little-known period of mass racist violence across the U.S. in the summer of 1919. In immigration news, the Trump administration is moving to fast-track deportation orders for undocumented people without allowing them access to due process in courts. According to the BBC, under the new rules, migrants who cannot prove they have been in the U.S. continuously for more than 2 years can be immediately deported. And the New York Times reported on the impacts of Trump's announced ICE raids on Monday, finding that while 2,000 people were targeted nationwide, only about 35 were arrested. In a widely publicized incident in Tennessee, neighbors formed a human chain to stop ICE from arresting an undocumented father who had lived in their community for 14 years. And finally, Britain's controversial right-wing leader and counterpart to Trump, Boris Johnson, has been chosen as the new Conservative Party leader and the new Prime Minister of the UK. AP described Johnson as, quote, Britain's blustering Brexit campaigner. And the New York Times' editorial board warned that he was, quote, about to collide with reality. Johnson has to negotiate a deal for Britain to exit the European Union by October 31st, a task that was his predecessor Theresa May's political undoing. He will also have to contend with a dramatic military escalation with Iran that has brought the UK to the doorstep of a potential war. Iran's Foreign Minister Javad Zarif, in a tweet congratulating Johnson, said Iran does not seek confrontation, but warned, "These are our waters and we will protect them." Meanwhile, Trump seemed thrilled at Johnson's victory, saying he will be great. And that does it for our news headlines today.